Hi, I'm Marion McPartland, and my guest today is Bobby Broom, guitarist and composer for All Seasons. His love of jazz flows through his fingers and resonates on his six strings. The guitar is a perfect outlet for his artistic sensibilities and his amazing music. Altogether an amazing guy, I would say. How are you, Bobby?
I'm fine, Marion. How are you?
I'm feeling all the better for seeing you sitting here opposite me, and we're going to chat a little bit. I didn't know you lived in Chicago.
Yes, it's been for quite some time now. I left New York in about 1984 and moved to the Midwest.
From some part of Harlem where you were born.
Yeah, I was born on, I grew up on 135th Street and Lenox Avenue in the Lenox Terrace Apartments for the first 7 years of my life. And then my family moved to the Upper West Side. So I spent my growing years there by Central Park on Columbus Avenue and 95th Street. It was a great place to grow up.
Yes, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now you're in my second home, Chicago. Of course, my husband Jimmy was from Chicago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, oh, he was part of a group called the Austin High Gang.
Trumpet player.
Yes, right? Trumpet player.
Yeah.
Bud Freeman, Davy Tuff, all those guys. So I love Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great city, very livable. Very much a hustling and bustling place, although, you know, nothing is quite like New York.
No.
But that's okay. As I've gotten older, I'm just finding that, I've done this New York thing, and it's in my blood. It runs very deep, but I don't need it.
What, New York, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've had that, so now you can sort of settle down and enjoy Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, enjoy life. And fortunately, I'm still very active musically. And I'm okay. I can get here on a plane in an hour and a half.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
If the plane is on time.
Yeah, right. How about that?
Well,
leave early.
All we have to do now is get into some music.
And all right.
And, of course, we'll have our bass player, Gary Mazzarapi, play on this one. Your pleasure?
Let's do the Beatles song, Can't Buy Me Love.
Okay. Thank you. Nice.
Oh, I love the Beatles.
I do too. And it seems to me the Beatles are having a great resurgence now.
Yeah, I read somewhere where one of them was saying in an interview that they aspired to be like a Rodgers and Hart or some kind of like they wanted to be a songwriting team originally and considered in that way. And I think that that will come to pass.
Well, it almost has.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
And some of those tunes will just last forever, like Yesterday.
Yeah, right.
I remember the first time I heard that on Ed Sullivan's show. I think it was the first time it was done in public.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to rush. In fact, I did rush to the piano and see if I could play it.
Yeah, I remember hearing the Beatles on the radio often from Love Me Do to Maybe I'm Amazed. I mean, there was just such a long period of time from the 60s through the 70s that they were at the fore, and they were really part of my childhood and part of the reason why I was so into music. Hearing a lot of other things. I mean, I just listened to the radio regularly and intently, and I'm sure that was part of the reason why I'm a musician, because I had this great love for all of the music that I was hearing.
All music.
Yeah.
Jazz and other things.
Yeah, jazz came much later. I didn't become aware of jazz till I was maybe 15 or something like that. But I was just
How did you get started as a musician?
Well, I woke up one morning and I just said, "Dad, can I get a guitar?" And that was it. He bought me a guitar and a microphone. And I said, "Well, I didn't ask for a mic. Why'd you bring the mic and the stand and the whole thing?" And he says, "Well, I don't know of too many guitar players that make it just playing guitar. So you better sing too, you know." So he got the whole outfit.
Your father really thought you were going to make it.
He didn't have much faith in me at that point as a guitar player, so he bought a mic. But yeah, I just started taking folk lessons and eventually got introduced to jazz through a teacher, a guy that lived up in Harlem named Jimmy Carter. And I would go to his house every Saturday. From about age 13 to 15, I did that. And
To
take guitar lessons and just loved the experience and his stories about his gigs. And just his teaching style was very open and inviting.
It sounds like he really helped you to get it all in your head.
Yeah. Very much so. I wasn't really into jazz yet.
Well, what were you listening to?
I was listening to everything that was on the radio. Yeah, still. And even though he was a jazz guitar player and he would really, implore me to listen to Wes. You've got to listen to Wes Montgomery.
Wes Montgomery.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, Wes Montgomery, yeah, I think I may have heard of him, but okay. And I'd nod and then I'd leave the lesson and never pursue it, you know.
You never did?
No. I was into Earth, Wind, and Fire and Kool and the Gang and, you know.
Oh.
By that time, I was a teenager, so I was into all the hip music, you know, of the day. So it wasn't until I started to hear things on the radio like Herbie Hancock's Headhunters.
Oh, that must have stopped
yes,
you up a bit.
It did. And Grover Washington Jr.'s Mr. Magic. Now, these were things that were contemporary to me. I could relate to the rhythm, to the beat. And then there were these solos that, wow, they kind of made sense to me. So then I thought, well, hey, if this is jazz, then maybe I do like jazz. So I went to the record store back when they had those and asked a guy. I said, I'm learning jazz guitar and I want to know who should I listen to. And he gave me a George Benson record. And that just changed everything.
George Benson.
Yeah.
He gave you the right one, I think.
I think he did. It was Bad Benson. And he did a version of Take Five. And everything on it was just amazing to me. I didn't know that the guitar could be played with such freedom. And it seemed as though all of the melodies I had ever heard from early childhood to that point, it seemed like George was in some way tapping into them and could access them in his improvisations. It just seemed so open-ended to me and so creative that I knew that that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to play guitar and play jazz.
Yeah. It's so much to listen to. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But how about a tune?
Okay.
How about maybe an Ellington tune?
Sounds good.
You must have learned along the way.
Yeah, yeah. I think I can pull up one. You want to do that one? How about Squeeze Me?
Oh, that's a great tune. I like that a lot. I liked everything Duke did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. All right, let's
do it. So shall we wail a couple of choruses?
Let's do it. Thank you.
I feel so good playing piano and guitar. I don't get to do that very often.
No,
it was so nice.
Good.
Well, we'll have more music in a minute. My guest is Bobby Broom, and Gary Mazzarapi is joining us on bass. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. How do you get your repertoire of tunes? I notice you've got so many different kinds of tunes on your record.
Yeah. Well, some of the way that I choose is just from personal experience. Probably all of my choices are based on that. But I think what you're leading to are the songs that don't necessarily seem normal in jazz circles, you know, the pop songs and the TV themes and things like that. So because music was so close to me and still is, you know, sometimes I just have a reverie and I'll think of a song and realize that there's some substance to the song melodically and harmonically and something that maybe I can do with it. Like the one that comes to mind is that Little Rascals theme that I did on a recent recording. And something happened during the day. I think I saw a dog that looked like Petey from our gang.
Oh.
And so that kind of jogged my memory. I started humming the theme and thought, wait a minute, you know, this is a great melody. And I went home and I started playing it and saw that the changes were quite nice. And I thought, man, this is a good, you know, a lot of times those songs, there's so many great songs, but sometimes they don't work on the instrument, on the guitar, you know, they just, so I have to find the ones that fit the sound of the instrument and that I can actually sing on the instrument. So that was one that actually that worked. And
well, how did you get hold of that Charlie Chaplin tune, Smile?
Well, I think that's just one that's in the American Songbook. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I just it's not something that I remember hearing on the radio or anything. It's just been a part of the backdrop of life. So it's just one I just started playing and kept playing over time and decided I wanted to include it in this in this program of that particular record. It's just a
well, we should play that tune.
Let's play Smile.
Well, let's smile.
All right.
I guess Smile is the only tune Charlie Chaplin ever wrote.
Is that right? Oh, man.
And I can't think of any others.
Unbelievable luck he had with that. You write one song and it's this great,
it's a great
piece
hit.
Of work.
Now I'm wondering, did he play it on the piano? Or did he whistle it?
Did he whistle it in a silent movie?
Yeah. Then. Or take down this tune, and then he'd whistle it. Oh, man. Well, there's more to come with Bobby Broom and me. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. When I read about you, the things you've done, and of course, to me, one of the greatest things is playing with Sonny Rollins. Was that fun?
Oh, it still is fun.
Do you do it now?
Yeah, you know, I rejoined his group in 2005 after, many, many years. I think the last time I worked with him before that was in the late 80s. Maybe 87 or something like that, 89 perhaps. But he kind of gave me my start in this in this field. Yeah, among some others, you know, I as a teenager, I wound up playing a bit with Al Haig. He used to play at Gregory's over on the East Side.
Right, I remember that.
Yes, him and Morris Edwards on bass. And I wound up, one of my mentors took me to a club one night, and I wound up sitting in with Al, and he extended an invitation ongoing to come play with him at Gregory's whenever I want. So, you know, I was there like three or four nights a week. And I had my little curfew. I had to be home by midnight. But as long as I had my homework done, I could go. And Morris Edwards lived in the neighborhood, and he would come and pick me up, or I would walk to his house, and we'd go and do Gregory's. And I'd play with Al from the moment I got there till, you know, 11:45, hop in a cab.
And you probably learned some new tunes.
Oh,
then.
I probably learned a bunch of new tunes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd say, do you know this tune or do you know that tune? And sometimes I'd fib, and sometimes I'd kind of, you know, maybe I'd heard something. But he was very confident in me. He'd always say, well, you just listen to a chorus and come in when you feel like it. Such a nice man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so those were the kinds of opportunities that were available to me. And Sonny was another one, something like that. He heard me play when I was about 16. And one of his musicians suggested that I go and audition or play for him at a rehearsal. So I did. And Sonny gave me a job on the spot, which I couldn't do because I was in high school. You know, he wanted me to go on the road. I couldn't do that. But so he said, well, I'll call you, you know, when I come back to town. And I thought, oh, fine. He'll call me to say hello. I didn't know what he meant, you know. So he called me with this gig at Carnegie Hall of all places. Yeah. So, and we've had a relationship ever since. He hired me about 4 years later, after I'd gone off to college and started on my career in earnest, he called and invited me to join his band, which I did for 4 or 5 years and went on from there.
You've done some wonderful things, and you worked for 5 years with Dr. John.
Yes, yes, and that was really a learning experience, because the New Orleans culture is so rich in all ways, food, music. And I wasn't really that aware of the rich musical legacy that extends through jazz, through rhythm and blues, and into rock and roll, early rock and roll. And Dr. John is the keeper of the flame of a lot of that. And so I got a lot of lessons in part of American culture that I wouldn't have been aware of otherwise. You know, very blues-rooted music, but he's well-rounded. You know, we played standards and all kinds of things. Yeah, yeah.
And now you've got your own trio.
I've got my own group, the Bobby Broom Trio, for lack of a better title at this point. And we have plans on recording again. And I also have an organ trio that I've been working with for some time now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we just started recording, though, we did our first CD in 2004. And the group is called the Deep Blue Organ Trio. And we just made a new record called Folk Music.
You're a busy man.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Speaking of somebody's got to do it, I'd like to play a tune for you.
I'd like to hear you play one of your tunes, maybe.
Well, I'd like to play this one called Ambiance. I don't know why, it just... Anyway.
Just one of those things.
Here it is.
Great. That was a beautiful tune.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, somebody wrote a band arrangement, and actually, Thad Jones and Mel Lewis wound up recording that.
Oh, wow. Okay, I got to go look for that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to it. It was on a label called Philadelphia International.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep waiting for it to show up somewhere, and it never does.
Oh, really? I bet it's out there somewhere.
I hope so.
I bet I can find it.
I hope so. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, now, how about you as the composer? We haven't heard that so far, and I know you write beautiful songs.
Well, I appreciate it. I try to keep writing. I don't do it as often as I should, perhaps, but I've got a few songs that I like to play. So I'm going to do one that's called Coming Home. I wrote it a while ago, and we just recorded it, though, on Song and Dance, so I think I'll play that.
It's a nice title. Tune has to be great.
We'll see about that. Thank you.
that's a beautiful tune.
Thank you.
And there's, I can't describe it, there's certain, the way it modulates, it's very interesting.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
I appreciate it.
Well, there's more to come with Bobby Broom and me. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I noticed on the CD you've got this really lovely tune, Where Is the Love?
Right.
That's, how would you place that? Is that a pop tune?
Most definitely. Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway.
That's right. I was trying to think who did it.
From, must have been the early 70s. It's funny. I was on the gig one night with the trio. And we were looking for a waltz, you know, and Dennis Carroll, my bass player, says, you know that tune, Where Is the Love? And I said, Where Is Love? Because there's that Where Is Love that we also do from Oliver. Yeah, we play that as a ballad. But he says, no, Where Is the Love? You know, the pop song. And I said, what? As a waltz? He said, yeah. And so I thought about it for a minute, and we played it right there, and I liked it. So I decided to record it.
Are you going to do that?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that. Gary and I can do that. That'd be nice. I'll do that.
Well, I'm dying to hear it.
All right.
It's a great tune. Thank you. Such a beautiful tune.
One of my favorites.
I'm glad you were able to include it.
Yes, me too.
You know, it's a shame, but we've got to end the show.
All good things.
We've got to wind up with something flashy.
Yes, right. I was thinking about how some of my associations lead back to places that I like and that are really important to me as a jazz musician. Of course, having the association with Sonny is something in and of itself. But then having played with Al Haig, who's a kind of a connection to Charlie Parker and you, and, you know, having those kinds of associations are really meaningful as I've gotten older, really meaningful to me. So let's do...
Charlie Parker tune?
Yeah, yeah. You want to do Donna Lee?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, let's do it. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
It was fun.
I had a good time. Thank you again.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest Bobby Broom. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer Duke Marcos. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Production coordinator David Lyon. Executive producer Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is ETV Radio, 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. This program was made possible in part by Fazioli Pianos. Additional support for Piano Jazz comes from Jazz Times Magazine. Since 1970, providing a window on the jazz world with artist features, news, and opinion. Available at newsstands and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.